Welcome to Legal Talk. I'm John Mitchell, and today we're uncovering the legal insights and strategies that help you protect what matters most. You're watching Now Media Television.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome back to Legal Talk. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. My name is John Mitchell. I am the host of the show, and I have got a real treat for you folks. Alina, attorney at law, Alina Gonzalez, and man, oh, man, I am so happy to have Alina with us here on the program today, and we're going to have a wonderful and great conversation. Today is not going to be a technical program about wills and trusts and all that good stuff. There's plenty of time for all that. Today, we're going to dig in. We're going to get to know, the person behind the curtain, right? And it's going to be well worth it. You'll be glued to the TV set. So thank you out there, the audience members, for being with us. And thank you, Alina, for being with us. And welcome to Legal Talk, Alina.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, John, and also agreeing to talk about other things than technical legal estate planning. I am thrilled to be able to have this opportunity to really speak about it, and it's a topic that's close to my heart, and that is about the potential of overwhelm and burnout that especially occurs in the legal field, but I think it touches upon all aspects of life and those that are in all professions. And that's why I want to have this opportunity, because I, for one, have absolutely suffered from absolute burnout, no passion whatsoever for what I was doing. I was just going through the motions. And I am a recovering alcoholic. I have been sober for now 12 years, 3 months, and I don't know how many days. I lost count. But that is because I know exactly what I had to do to reclaim my own authenticity, my authentic voice. And I'm hoping that by sharing my story and sharing my experiences and working with other people, that this may touch upon your audience members.
Well, thanks very much for that. And I really want to dive into all of that. We've got four good long segments that we can dive into all of that. Very first thing I wanted to do, if it's okay with you, I wanted to chat for during this first segment before we go to commercials and all that good stuff. We got to pay some bills around here. Got it. But let's talk first. Let's get to know who is Alina. What's your story? How'd you get involved in the legal profession? And tell us where do you practice? What's your specialty? And good stuff like that. Start from the beginning. How'd you get interested in a career in law?
My grandmother. So I am a first generation U.S. born child of Cuban refugees. And my grandmother would tell me stories of my maternal grandfather. He died in his 40s of cancer, but he was an attorney in Cuba. He was somebody that was politically connected, probably where I get my passion for politics as well. And he did a lot of good in the community. And she would regale me of stories of who he was, what it was like back then, and my parents also would share stories of the people that he touched. And so to me, it was just like, oh my God, to be able to be a lawyer and be as great and compassionate and giving of service to a community like my grandfather would be such an honor. And also it fulfilled very much a hope that my grandmother had, because what's interesting too is my brother and my sister actually tease me. My parents being Cuban refugees, they had everything taken away from them. They came to this country with nothing, 3 pairs of clothes and a baby on a hip. And what their truth was, they saw that my father as an engineer and fellow friends that were doctors or accountants were able to assimilate into the U.S., but also become professions within their fields and make very good money and provide for their family. Not saying that wealth is everything, but it really did provide a stability for us. And we lived the American dream. And they also noticed that the great attorneys that they knew from Cuba were not permitted to practice law here in the U.S. So growing up, myself and my siblings had a choice, and many of the our friends that are also of Cuban heritage, we had a choice. You could either be an accountant, a doctor, or an engineer. That was it, going to college. Well, while I was in college, I'm 10 years younger than my siblings. I think we got, you know, a little bit more settled, let's say, of that fear that you have to run from a country, which was something my mother did have. But also I whittled them down along with my grandmother that I should be a lawyer, because ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a lawyer like my grandfather. So that's, here you are 30 years later, I'm still an Esquire. And honestly, I'm very grateful for the path that I've had as a lawyer. It's been amazing.
Well, you know, you touch on something very big and very important that I always like to think about, and that's the why, right? You got to have a why. You got this, you know, this being a lawyer, people ask sometimes, what's it like to be a lawyer? And I tell people, one of the things I frequently say is, if you in school, when you were a kid, if you liked doing homework and you even did all those extra credit assignments and stuff, you might be good at being a lawyer, because a lot of what we do, people could maybe do for themselves, not to the full extent, but a lot of it, you know, they could do. But, you know, if you enjoy getting in there, getting your hands dirty up to your elbows and get, you know, doing things, yeah, that's, you're probably going to be cut out for this, because it's like doing everybody's homework for them for the rest of your life, right? So that's kind of like what it is, right? Digging through documents, finding the answers and stuff. So it's kind of like doing everybody's homework for them. And you know, you mentioned about burnout and stuff, and we'll talk more about that, but boy, oh boy, man, I mean, you can really start to feel the drudgery of it. And the important thing to always keep in mind, you know, what is the reason? Why are you doing what you're doing, right? I saw on a TV show once, but this really rang true to me. The guy says, look, he says, you know, once in a great while, as a lawyer, it's hours and hours of drudgery. Once in a great while, you get to see justice done. And on a really, really good day, you get to look back and say, I was part of making justice done. Right. So that's a wonderful. I really appreciate you sharing your backstory with us. So went to college and became a lawyer. Whereabouts do you practice, by the way?
I primarily practice in Southwest Florida. That's Lee County, Fort Myers area, Naples, Florida, Collier County. However, I do represent clients, especially in probate, throughout the state of Florida. My hometown is Lakeland, Florida, in Polk County. So I still try to take some cases there, which my parents love.
Oh my goodness, that is wonderful. And what would you say is, I know you mentioned estates and trusts and stuff. Would you say that's kind of like the main focus of your practice?
It is now. I started off as a family law attorney. That just happened based on internships, and the first law firm I worked for, they really wanted to develop the family law side. They had the criminal defense side. And then what I started realizing is that there was an unmet need among blended families, that the vast majority of families now have some type of non-traditional, if you will, aspect, whether it's two people living together and raising a family together, or two people who have children from prior relationships that are now joining in. And based on my experiences as a family law attorney, I felt like I really could serve this clientele with proper estate planning, ensuring that there's stability in the newfound family, but also ensuring that what they built actually will go to their children and their loved ones. So that's how I got into estate planning. And honestly, it's kind of funny. You said, if you like homework and doing the treasury in law school, I absolutely loved all my estate planning courses, because it gets your mind going. It was like you know, putting the puzzle piece, but also what's exciting about estate planning for me is seeing the sheer design come through in the, in learning about my client's true desires, which most of it is not just who gets what, it's about passing on what they built and their legacies being, transferred to other family members or loved ones.
You know, your clients are so blessed to have you, really, and I really mean that, because, you know, this work is so important because, you know, it touches really the entire realm, right, the entire aspect of people's lives, and it's not just about stuff and let's divide up the stuff. It really is about seeing people for who they are and being able to help them pass their legacy along. And so you are to be greatly commended for that, Alina. That's for sure. So we're almost to the end of the segment. Let me ask just one more question. It's one of my favorite questions I usually ask. I usually ask folks, professional folks, if there was one nugget of wisdom, one thing that you've learned from all these years, one thing that you wish your clients knew walking in the door, can you let us know what that might be?
Don't get bogged down by the fear of what ifs. And this goes even with divorce, because really in divorce is when you're dealing with so much emotions, and rightfully so, there is a lot because of what is occurring, but don't allow yourself to get bogged down in the fear and the disappointment or even the just the negative talk that goes on. Look to how can I ensure that I'm in the best foot forward, and it is staying in the present moment. I tell my clients all the time, just take a moment to breathe. You just got to breathe. For those that are in estate planning, I mean, it's more of, this is your design. This is your instructions. This is your ability to make sure that, one, your family's taken care of after your passing, but also take caring of for yourself. How do you wish to be taken care of in the event that you are not able to have a voice for yourself or in a position to make decisions for yourself? I mean, I look at, my mother has dementia, and thankfully my father's very sound mind and capable of taking care of her. But, you know, they put a plan into place to ensure that my mother's taken care of if anything should happen to my dad. That is security. That is absolute love. He is making sure that the love of his life is taken care of in the manner that he feels she should be continue to enjoy and the standard of life that she has. And I think that's the other thing to remember for our clients.
Yes, yes, indeed, man. Those are wonderful nuggets for us, wonderful words of wisdom. So we are going to cut this off at this point for this segment. We'll go, we'll have some commercials, take a quick break. You'll get the beverage, hot or cold beverage of your choice. Come back, take a comfortable seat, because when we come back from this little break, we're going to continue talking with Alina, who has been just wonderful for us today. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more practical, real-world legal guidance. This is Legal Talk on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm John Mitchell, and you're watching Legal Talk on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Legal Talk and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. All right. So we are back. Hope that everybody out there had a chance to, like I said before, get the hot or cold beverage of your choice. You know, maybe make a quick pit stop. None of our business, but hope you got that chance. And now we are back we are rearing to go, right? I've got Alina Gonzalez with us, and we are going to chat a little bit about, you know, we've gotten to know Alina. So thanks for that, Alina. And now welcome back after these little commercial breaks, and we are going to chat a little bit more about the main topic. We're going to dig in today, and we are talking a little bit today about mindset, right? And so that is going to be so, so important. We'll chat a little bit about mindset from the point of view of the clients, right? Because our clients, man, oh man, you know, sometimes I feel like I think Alina is going to agree with me on this. Sometimes it seems like I don't know if I'm your lawyer or your therapist, right? And so people come and it's perfectly fine. It's all right. I'm not making a complaint here, but just stating the way it is, seems like people come in and they just unload. They just dump on us, and that, you know, that's part of the job. So it's fine. But I do feel like that sometimes. And even sometimes I feel like I should turn the chair to the side and put a little screen between us, right? So that it can be like a confessional, right? So if you would, Alina, let's dive right in. And my first question in this segment for you is going to be, what can you tell us about mindset? What is it? Why is it important from the perspective of the client to be in the right mindset as they face these legal situations and difficulties and planning and whatever it may be that we're helping them with? Why is mindset important? What is it? And what kind of correct mindset should people be in?
Well, I don't know if I could dictate to who the correct mindset is, because it's all individualistic, but I do. I was cracking up when you were saying, especially the confessional part. We're counselors. I mean, that's why they call attorneys counselors, right? There's oftentimes, especially in a family law setting, that I have spent hours with clients and we're not discussing the case. We're not talking about the legalities of whether it's time sharing, alimony, or anything like that. We're dealing with the emotional toil that these clients are currently undergoing. And I can say, for one, there's times where I just don't want to take on that baggage. I don't. But then you have to set aside and listen to that client. And it could be men or women. I mean, both of them have their own stressors. There's a lot going on in their lives. So for me, one of the first experiences I had with even as a young attorney, but even recently, is when I'm sitting down with a client and they're looking at litigation, they're looking at the end of a relationship, an end of a marriage, but also an end of a dream. Because in many aspects, people don't go into marriages thinking they're going to get divorced. They think this is it. This is forever, regardless of if you've been married or before or not. And then also the stress of how to deal with children, with time sharing and such like that. And I know this from personal experience because I am divorced. And even as a divorce attorney, it did not prepare me for that emotional roller coaster that you go through. And as I call it, the minions in my head with all those little voices. So one of the first things when I start talking to a client and they are having an emotional moment and they start bearing their souls and, you know, their fears, and they're spinning out, it's one of the first things I tell them: stop, take a deep breath, start breathing, you know, and it helps regulate yourself as it gets you from going into that, from that spin out into getting you back into your body. So that way things can be more centered. Because when you're in that high adrenaline rush, when you're in that panic mode or that emotional time, you're not thinking straight. And so that's one of the first things. And I tell my clients all the time, whether it's on the phone or in front of me, breathe, stop for a moment, stop talking, let's take some deep breaths. And that's because that was so vital for me. And when I was going through everything I was going through, that someone finally said, Alina, breathe. And then let's unpack where we're at. Let's get to really what the truth is. What is it that your mind is telling you that is not true versus what is the reality? What is your what is actually occurring right at this present moment? Because that's, you know, the fun thing about our brains is it goes based on past experiences, and anything new, anything out of the ordinary, it immediately thinks we're going to die. So it panics. And that's when you have all those little voices that come up and tell you all these things and these fears. And that's when we just have to sit back and just take a few moments. Let's get ourselves recentered. And it may be a quick few breaths. It may be, okay, cry it out, scream it out, do what you have. But until you get to that point where your brain can literally just be quiet just for a moment so you can gather yourself, that's probably one of the most important steps I tell my clients initially that help us get through that session.
You know, a lot of times I've found, and I know you'll agree with this, I'm sure you will, a lot of times when people come to see us, they're coming to see us when they're possibly at one of the lowest points in their life, right? They've got Absolutely. A big problem. And we sometimes kind of, I guess we could kind of take it for granted because we've been there, done that, seen this, you know, 100 times. And to us, maybe what's going on right this moment is maybe not as big a deal. But we need to realize maybe this is the only time this person has gone through this. And I love what you said about, you know, having people stop, take a few breaths, maybe even cry it out. Yes, I do have a couple of boxes of Kleenex in my conference room, as every attorney that I know does, because, you know, these are, you know, the people feel this deep down in their bones, deep in their soul. They're feeling what's going on. And that's why it's important for us to also be able to, and we'll talk about this a little more in depth later, but it's important for us to also be able to hit that pause button and listen to people. Step back, sit back, listen, and let people get it out because, you know, we're all human beings and everybody wants to feel seen and everybody wants to feel heard. And I feel like that it's just a fundamental part of having our clients trust and confidence is to be able to let them know that, you know, and I have a saying that I always say in my practice, what do you want people to know? Well, I want people to know you're not alone. You are not alone. I'm right here with you. And we're going to, you know, we're going to get through this together. And it's very important, like you said, Lynette. So thanks for that wonderful little bit of insight there. Is there any kind of, I would say, maybe an example, maybe some kind of a war story, if you will, something where you feel like that maybe you made a difference by putting that into practice with a client? Do you have any real life stories about that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God. Yes, I do. That's why I went, whew, okay.
I kind of thought maybe you would. Yes.
Yes. Which one do I want to share? So actually we became very close, this client and I, because of the ordeal. So she was a divorce client. She started off as one of my staff attorney's clients. And then the complexities of what was happening in that family dynamic, the staff attorney asked me to take over, and which was fine. You know, I get it. I have more experience. Also, I think that with everything that was going on, we were dealing with a spouse that had addiction issues. There was infidelity. So you had infidelity. You have alcoholism. You had 2 young children. You also had a volatile paramour that had multitude of issues as well, so with mental health and addiction and such. So we had like a lot of mixed bags going in, right? And this is, and my client, I had the wife, and first and foremost, she was always very, she was a mama bear. My children come first. She was always so concerned about everything that was happening to the children, how they were dealing with this and such, that she allowed herself to be the very last thing that she considered. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I was getting involved, I started learning more from her, getting to know her. That's when the fissure started showing, and I allowed her the opportunity to just break, let it break, let it all out. And then over the years, and this is over the years because there's been not only her initial case, I was able to help her with some guidance in taking my own experiences and helping her to reconnect to her, because that was one of the things that I think she was most grieving, was how she lost herself in the, not only in the marriage, but her identity was wife, mother, not herself. And let's just call her Jane. So, and I can get into it in our next segment, some of the tools that I suggested to her that she, to this day, she calls me up and thanks me for everything. She has seen the children had thrived as a result of her own healing. So that was, you know, really important too.
You know, it is so important. We're going to wrap it up on this segment. We'll continue chatting a little bit into the next. You know, we got plenty of time to finish off that story. But you know what stands, what's, you know, what kind of sticks with me from that is the ripple effect. So you stepped up, and not only were you able to provide that support and comfort and the support, you know, everything that your client needed, but now the repercussions, the ripple effect of that has now flowed through to the kids, and that's something that you know, that is honest to God, that is a privilege in my mind for us to be able to touch people and touch lives like that. So that's very riveting and important story that you're telling us. So we are going to go ahead and take another quick little break. You know, again, I don't think people need probably another beverage yet, but you know, stretch your legs, whatever, and sit back down, enjoy, get primed, right? Get your mindset right to watch the rest of this show and see what good stuff Alina has for us. And we will be right back after these this little break.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more practical, real-world legal guidance. This is Legal Talk on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm John Mitchell, and you're watching Legal Talk on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
Well, welcome back, everybody, from that quick little break. Man, oh man, you know, I'm a lawyer, so I can't help but to speak a little Latin here. Tempus fugit, right? That means time flies, and time does fly when you're having fun. And I have not had this much fun in a long time. You know, we're chatting with our good friend Alina here, and you know, talking about a little bit. You know, I said we're nibbling around the edges, right? We're not talking about technical stuff about you know, how you would structure a trust or whatever. We're talking about the human side of it, right? We're getting into a little bit about what does it mean, the human side of what we do, right? And I am so pleased and so grateful to have Alina here with us. And we were chatting a little bit before the break about a story she was telling us about, you know, being able to be there and provide some of that good support and comfort for clients. And if you would, Alina, you know, take it away and wrap up a little bit that story, so we can move on and talk a little bit about the next piece of the puzzle, I would like to say, which is the mindset of the professionals. But let's finish up your final thoughts on that story you were telling us.
Well, you hit the nail on the head in that yes, there's technicals, you know, and yes, we deal with contracts or we deal with trust or we're dealing with legal issues and legal research. However, at the base of everything, the foundation of all of our practices is the individual, the people. And that's what's, you know, really what drives, at least for me. And for this particular client, besides, you know, recommended some books or some actual exercises and such, such as The Artist's Way and such, what I had to sit her down and make her realize that there's a saying that says, God first, then family, then career. However, oftentimes what we forget, the individual neglects to remember, is that you had to put yourself somewhere. So it's really God first, then you, then family, then career. Because if you're not good, if you're not in a situation personally where you are taking care of yourself, you're acutely focusing on your needs, your emotional well-being, your physical well-being, that flows down to your children, your family, and your career. Because ultimately, if you're putting yourself last, which most oftentimes we put everything above ourselves and we're very last, we don't take care of ourselves until something catastrophic happens, whether it's a health crisis or just absolute breakdown. And when she started accepting that she had to start taking care of herself and that her happiness mattered, yes, there was probably some pushback, especially on her daughter, from her daughter, because her daughter was having a very difficult time with the whole situation with the divorce and issues with limited time sharing with her dad due to those issues. But eventually the daughter even was like, you're happier, you're more present, you're actually with us. And that flowed to the daughter saying, it's okay for me to be who I am. So that was really the most meaningful lesson that she got out of it. And even over the years, because we still talk and communicate, she's even taken that to she's like, she just shared, her son just graduated high school. He was very little when we were dealing with her divorce. And just everything, how this family is thriving, how they are even more bonded than before, but even more so that she is fulfilling so many of her dreams and her desires. And also she's upticked what she's available for in a relationship, and she's now found someone who is doing that for her. And these are the benefits of the mindset, but it's also remembering, I think the first lesson we can take from whether, you know, from a professional side point or a personal side point, you have to acutely focus on yourself and make sure you're 100% and you're, you know, or at least as best as you can be in order to fulfill everything else that follows that. You're not on the bottom. You have to put yourself on the top. And that would be the first thing I would suggest. And I do that with all of my clients. I remind them of that.
Man, oh man, that is so important. That is such an important, important set of things that you just told us. And so we really appreciate that good advice. Now I wanted to shift gears just slightly, right, and chat for a few minutes. Whatever we have left in this segment, we'll talk about from the point of view of the professional. What would you say about the professional? I know we were chatting a little bit before we got started about lawyers and how hard it is. You know, sometimes you feel like people are just dumping all their trauma on you. And, we need to be cognizant of our own needs and our own mental health and stuff. So what can you tell us about that?
I think that one way of framing it is achievement without alignment. So we're seeing in, well, professions, and I think even more so in the younger ones that are coming in, and not just the legal profession, is it's not a lack of success, it's success without alignment. What aligns you, your purpose, your passion to what you're doing? And I could speak as a lawyer, we are trained from law school to perform, to win, to push through all costs. We take on all the baggage of our clients, the trauma, the issues, the challenges, and oftentimes we forget how to separate ourselves from that. And the data reflects it, that the cost of the mindset, especially among attorneys, 20% of attorneys struggle with hazardous drinking. Nearly 30% report depression, and 11% have contemplated suicide. I mean, that is significant, especially compared to the general population, but also that we are the highest among the professions in these three categories. And that says something about our the careers that we have chosen or our profession. And now I know the bar associations have done great work towards helping with that balance, trying to get, you know, providing that space for lawyers to learn. But I think it's also an individualistic thing, because one of the things that I have learned, I'm a high achiever. I think that if you're a professional, especially a very successful professional, you're high performing, you risk the burnout is the risk of burnout is huge. I mean, you are praised for endurance, not authenticity. And I think that's some of the things that is the, it's almost like the two-edged sword. You feel like you cannot be your authentic self, that you can't be true to your own voice, and you silence that intuition, you override your emotion, you numb yourself out in any way that you can to overcome any shortfallings. And that disconnect creates that shame, the isolation, and self-betrayal. And I've seen that with even other professionals. I have clients that are in high executive positions. I have doctors. I have fellow attorneys. And I see this more and more, that it's like there is just this passionless aspect of their careers, especially if they've been in it for some time. But also it's like you're going through the motions, but you feel so dead. And I personally have been that. I mean, there was a period of time that I was so burnt out. I was literally putting my health at risk, just overworking to achieve everything that was expected of me and to make sure my clients were taken care of, make sure that the nonprofit I was running was taken care of. But to what end? I felt like I was just like, looking in my eyes, it was like looking into a shark's eyes, lifeless, soulless. And that's the cost of being that high achiever, risking that burnt out and not realizing that you had the right and to put yourself first and to ensure that you are taking care of yourself, because it goes beyond just the positive mindset of everything is positive and law of attraction. It goes to true authenticity, who you are, what your passion is, and how you express that, which will make you more successful, because it will shine through you and through your work.
Right. You know, I will, admit this is a vulnerable moment for me, but I'll admit I have seen the day, and thank God they don't come around very often, but I've seen the day when, I don't even want to just get out of bed in the morning. And so I definitely understand and feel what you're saying about that. So let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back with the final segment, we'll have some more good stuff for everybody. Thank you out there for the audience for being with us. And we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more practical, real-world legal guidance. This is Legal Talk on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm John Mitchell, and you're watching Legal Talk on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation.
Well, hello there, everybody. Man, oh man, time has flown, and we are down to the very last segment of today's show. We have Alina Gonzalez with us. I am very pleased, very privileged to have Alina with us today, and very pleased pleased and privileged also to have all of you out there with us today, because you know, we're sitting here, you know, we'd be talking to four empty walls if it weren't for our audience out there, you know, watching the show. And we do all this for you, and we hope that it has been enjoyable, entertaining, and informative. So with that said, let me ask you this. Do you want more of what you're watching? If you do, then you can stay tuned, stay connected to Legal Talk and all the other Now Media TV favorites, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move? Well, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle and culture and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So, Alina, man, oh, man, let me just follow up on the last thing that you were saying. You know, you gotta be able to also look out for yourself. And you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of taking a flight, right? Like, you know, it's like Ted Cruz hopping on a plane to Cancun, right? So, if you know that reference. But in any event, when you get on the flight and the stewardesses stand up and they buckle the seatbelt and stuff and they do the whole safety presentation. And one of the important things that they tell everybody, and I've never heard them not say this, if you're with a child or somebody that needs help, put your oxygen mask on first and then help the person that you're with that needs help, right? And so that is a very important lesson for the plane, and it's also very important probably for life, right? Help make sure that you, because if you, you know, I went to a seminar once. I used to love to go to these seminars, these, you know, I don't know, get rich quick kind of things. I just love these motivational seminars. And the guy stood up and he said, look, he said, if you want to help people, you know, to not be poor anymore, the very first thing you should do is stop being one of them. Right. And so that kind of goes hand in hand with the whole put your oxygen mask on first. Point of order, just out there, you know, wrap it up by saying, you folks out there, lawyers, and I guess this would go to doctors and really any other profession that's dealing with people, you got to make sure that you have your mind right, and you got to make sure that you are in a position to even be able to help other people with their problems, because if you're drowning, you're not going to be able to save somebody else, right? So that is what I would, you know, add to the conversation. And in these last several minutes, I'd like to go ahead and just ask you, Alina, open it up and say, what are the final thoughts that you might have for us on the big show today? What other nuggets of wisdom? What can you share with us?
I think the most important, even self-lessons that I had, or epiphanies, if you will, is the importance of self-forgiveness. And that really led to the liberation to find my authenticity, to reclaim my voice and my passion. So self-forgiveness is my foundation whenever I start working with someone, because I think that as many achievers can relate to, we carry deep unspoken guilt for missed moments, hardened edges, choices made in survival mode, also just a lack of acknowledgement that if we're still in that doubt, if we're still beating ourselves up. And I never quite understood the saying, put down the bat and pick up a feather, until I had this epiphany, because I would have a sledgehammer. And it didn't matter what happy thoughts or mindset shifts I was trying to make, or the positivity or motivational books, until I had self-forgiveness, I was not free. And it is a liberation. It allowed space for my clarity, my compassion, and it created real change, not within myself personally, but it reflected, it emanated out literally into my family life, into my personal life, as well as my successes in business. And it gave me the, I say, courage and confidence to go after even more dreams, such as appearing on your television show and doing these interviews and being vulnerable. And I think that's the other, you know, important tidbit is vulnerability is not a weakness. It is actually a point of strength, because when you are vulnerable, that means that you are expressing and sharing your true self. And in professions like law or medicine or whatever high, you know, energy, high stress jobs that you may have, oftentimes we train our voices to serve systems, clients, and outcomes, but not truth. And the truth is, what is truth to you? It is not saying absolutely, you know, as lawyers, we tend to, we like to spin a story. We're definitely being truthful and not, or making sure we're not saying outright lies, but it's really being authentic to yourself and bringing your voice forward and speaking that clarity, speaking honestly with yourself, then setting the boundaries that are necessary and redefining the success and making choices that align with your values rather than allowing external validation to drive you. And then for authentic success isn't about doing less. It's about doing what actually matters. It's working smarter, not harder. When executives and professionals reconnect with that inner voice and purpose, and I say we don't lose our edge. We actually become even more so. We gain sustainability, fulfillment. We are more impactful and empowering when we are our authentic selves. And that's how we can use our mindset. We can change the narrative in high-pressure professions, not by lowering a bar, but by redefining what it means to truly succeed. And those days of, you know, people saying, oh, you need to work 60, 80, 90, 100 hours a week. You should be staying at the office for 16 hours. That's not what it's about. That's not success. Success is truly bringing forth who you are, what your value, and allowing that to flow through the work. And it's amazing how it rekindles purpose. It rekindles a passion. I can say from my burnout and overwhelm that I felt like I was circling a drain. That coming out when I had these epiphanies, when I worked, and I mean, I did some deep work on myself to figure out who I was or who I wanted to be again. Finding my authenticity is shining through my work. And I found a newfound passion with helping clients and the pride that when I see they have a moment, or that whether it's through the estate planning or it's a moment where their families are truly bonding and they're taking care of themselves, that's when I know that I have brought my best foot forward, my best work. But my best work only comes through who I am truly, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. And I'll tell you this, you know, these things that you've just said, this is the whipped cream and the cherry on top of today's dessert, right? Authenticity, you know, authenticity, that's the word. That is the reason why ChatGPT will never completely replace lawyers, because it might, you know, artificial intelligence might be able to answer a question for you, but artificial intelligence has never, ever lived the human experience. And I'll leave it on that note. Alina, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for digging deep and sharing with us today. In these last 30 seconds or so, can you please share with the audience out there, how can they get in touch with you if they, you know, if they feel they need to do so?
Yes, you can reach out to me through my website. My website is lifelawplanning.com. My telephone number is on that, but also you can schedule a 15-minute telephone conference with me. Just go to my website, Lifelaw Planning, schedule a call. I love to get on the call. And I assure you that I'm not the greatest at keeping to the 15 minutes, especially when there's someone on the other side that is in need and I can help. That is what I am. I'm truly a person of service. And if you want to give me a call, 239-789-2533.
Well, Alina, it's time has flown by. Thank you so much for being with us. And thanks to the audience for being with us as well. Until next time, take care.